one of our perennial guests on Texas OU weekend every year. We love to get him on. We love his stories, love his insight. He is the great Barry Switzer. Hi, Barry.
Oh, man. Mike, good to hear your voice. I recognize that voice, even though it's a year since I heard it. And Corby calls me all the time. How come you don't call me? He doesn't give you my number.
Yeah, I try to pass it off to you. Just say, just give him a call and, you know, just see if he wants to go eat some Kentucky Fried Chicken or something, but he just doesn't do it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, I'll start,
Barry. It's that time again. It's that time again, guys.
It is that time again. And
does it get the blood flowing for you still after all these years?
Well, it's not enough for me to come south of the Red River. I'm sitting right here in Norman, Oklahoma, sitting right across from the campus in the beautiful University of Oklahoma. So I'm just going to stay here and watch it on my 65-inch screen out in my cabana and eat me some ribs, barbecue ribs, pork ribs.
That's the way to do it. Well, yeah. You know, we were talking about a little bit yesterday how the kind of the roles have changed as far as the coaches go, the two head coaches, where Stoops had his number there for five straight years and the tides turned a little bit and Mac made some adjustments. And now is it, I know you got to hear it up there, is it time for Bob to make certain adjustments or is everything still status quo?
Well, Bob's just crippled up. You know, he's got a football team that's limping around. He's lost his first round tight end and for the year, but big, tall dude. He's a hell of a player and to be a first round pick. Bradford missed two games that they lost, and two games they lost, they only played a game and a half, and so far this season. And you look at offensive line's young. Texas should be a better team. Both are good defense. That's why the score. That's why the pro line score is the pick'em. It's three and a half.
Yeah.
That's why both teams. That's why it's a tight fit there because both teams can play defense. Oklahoma's offense doesn't have a receiver for it. They don't. They haven't found a 1-2 guy. And the guy that makes most of the plays for him, the number 85, Brian Boyles, is out of the game. So, you know, Oklahoma's not at its top of his game right now physically. The injury bugs got him. And Colt McCoy is a hell of a quarterback. And, you know, I said last year, I said they're going to pass this thing around. And if Colt has a pretty good year, he's going to win the Heisman. And I think that will happen. He wins the game tomorrow, and they win the rest of them in the league. I think Colt probably can. It'll come down to him and Tebow, and I think they'll give it to Colt.
Now, do you think are you looking for a low-scoring game because of all this? Do you think it's going to be pretty close to the vest by both guys?
I don't know. You never know what's going to happen in something like this, a shootout. Oklahoma scored 45 on Tulsa. You know, Tulsa played Boise State the heck of a game the other night. You can't go for comparative scores. I think both teams play good enough defense that they're not going to let it get out of hand. And neither team has done that. The only time it ever got out of hand is when Mac, the secondary coach in there was playing man-to-man coverage against Oklahoma spread offense, and that's why they hung 60 on them every damn year. But they finally went to a zone coverage and two deep and five short coverages and mixed it up and slowed them down, made them go the long way to score instead of giving them easy ones. But the Texas, I don't know what Texas running game is. It hasn't been dominant, and Oklahoma's pretty good on up front. Now I promise you, the front seven's gonna play you the hell out of you. So I just don't think you can run the ball and consistently against Oklahoma and beat them running. Colts will have to make the play. Colts will guide them, win the game for him if he wins it. And spread offenses, that's what it is. Quarterback's 90% of your offense. Colts going to have a good game. He'll win the game. If Bradford had receivers catch the damn football, he's got a chance. He had last week. I don't know where you saw a game last week.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
I bet he had 10 drops.
Yeah, he did. I've never seen anyone.
He would have thrown for 500 yards last week. He had 390 yards. He had 10 drops.
Do you remember, you know, from all the times you've been involved in this game, can you ever remember a time where there were two better quarterbacks? And I know it was a different era when you were there with the wishbone and everything, but it just seems like these two guys, not only are they just tremendous, tremendous quarterbacks and athletes, but they're just such good guys. I just don't remember in the history of this series.
They are. They're class acts, no question about it. I can't say that about some of mine, but I'm not going to speak for Texas. But I had good players. I had good guys. I loved my players, but they kind of had something in the neck every once in a while. But these two guys are class acts, and I'll tell you what, they're great athletes, and they can throw the football, and they're great representatives of school. Now, neither one of them could run either one of my offenses. Neither one could be a guy that I put out there with the offense I run. Both can throw the football. Both have got quick releases. Both are intelligent. They both fit in each other's system. They can swap systems and both be tremendous in each other's playbooks. But you are right, Corby, in saying that, hey, they are two class acts. And, you know, the Heisman is the race is for those same three, the New York last year. It could be one of those three. And I think, as I said, if Texas wins and Bradford has a team, 3-3 team with a possibility of losing a couple more, you know, it's going to come down to Tebow and Colt McCoy winning this thing. And I think they'll give it to Colt. And he probably deserves it if his stats are where they should be.
Coach, talk about Mack Brown a little bit, because you had him on your staff there as an offensive coordinator, and a lot of people just stereotype him as a great recruiter and a great manager of the entire team. But what kind of coach was he when you had him on at Oklahoma?
I hired him because I wouldn't hire him if he wasn't a damn good coach for me. I knew he's a good coach. That's why I hired him. He was a head coach when I hired him. That was one of my NCAA violations. I paid him out of my personal corporation extra because I couldn't. The University of Oklahoma budget wouldn't allow for me to pay him what he's making at Appalachian State, so I had to pay him out of my corporate account. So that's how I got him here, and he wanted to coach at Oklahoma, and he knew this was a better launching pad to get a better job. When he was here, he asked me what was the best job in college football. I said, the University of Texas, and ironically, he's there.
Wow. Was he a real hard ass when you had him on your staff?
No, he wasn't a hard ass. He was a disciplined coach, but he coached a different style. You know, he's not a yeller, a screamer, a grabber, a dog cusser. He's not that way. He's got his personality. But he's any football coach. He's a smart coach. He's a guy players like. He is intelligent. Everyone has a different way of doing things, you know, and there's a lot of different ways to win. Mac wins his way, I won my way, and the other guys won their way.
Talk about the pressure.
A lot of them lose. But anyway, he's a good football coach. I wouldn't hire him.
Talk about the pressure, Barry, I know it's there every year, and, you know, it just seemed like it was so big back in the day, and it's so big now between the head coaches and the pressure to win this game. But how much more pressure did you feel when you were on a little two-game losing streak, or they had taken three or four from you or whatever?
Tremendous pressure. There's no question about it. You know, it's more pressure probably on Oklahoma coaches because we got all those guys living south of the Red River making a living down there and graduated on you. Now, there's no one that graduates Texas comes north of the Red River to make a living. You know, that's a joke now. That doesn't happen. But we have thousands of alumni in Dallas and Houston and all the East Texas that graduated from Oklahoma, that came to school here, or some that didn't even come from Texas, went down there to make a living, and they live in that environment. They work, they play, they socialize. This game's important to them, and for us to live it, for them to live there. So when I had three losses in a row to Texas, I guarantee you I puckered. You know, I had to win one, and it's important to me.
Did you find yourself changing things?
No. You still do what you believe in. Hell, you don't change anything. You try to get better at what you do, what you believe in. You know, you don't change. Uh, uh, you know, the biggest mistakes you make sometimes is panicking and making a change. But, you know, sometimes it does work out. You know, we I talked to Fairbanks and going to the wishbone. And it's the best damn thing we could do. We did it right before we played Texas. And thank God we had open dates that we could do it, make a change. But, you know, that was a drastic change. We thought scrapped the damn playbook and worked on and go completely to a new one. But you know, coaches usually stay with what they believe in and get better at. But I knew we were going to get our butts fired if we didn't do that. And I was looking at too many Chuck and bumper stickers around Norman. I counted them up, so I knew we needed to get rid of the playbook we had.
This is Barry Switzer with us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You know, looking at the Oklahoma team, a big area of talk surrounding them this year has been the offensive line. They lost a lot of guys on there. They got one of their really good players. They've had to move him to another position. And beyond that, they're breaking in just a whole bunch of new guys. What is that like to go into a game like this when you've got a little bit of uncertainty on the offensive line?
Well, it's been evident in how they played that their offensive line is obviously not as good as it have been in the past. And they've struggled. The running game has struggled. There's been pass protection breakdowns. And they're good athletes. I know they're good people, have good feet, and they're going to be good players in time. But I think it just takes time for guys with game experience to develop. If you don't develop experience in practice, you develop on the 60 minutes you play on Saturdays, and that's where you get the full benefit of the true experience and knowing how to play the game. So the edge goes to Texas this year, and I think it all because of the health injury and the inexperience of the offensive line. And the inexperience in the receiver core of Oklahoma.
Is that the biggest thing? Like, if you were going into an offseason knowing that you had to replace three, four, or whatever, five starters on the offensive line, was that always a bigger problem than replacing your running backs or your defensive backs or whatever? Was the offensive line the biggest headache if you had to replace a whole bunch of them?
In this system it is, because it's a more difficult system to play. An offensive line, the block, pass blocking is more difficult than run blocking. And in my scheme, it wasn't. I could take inexperienced, talented offensive linemen and play them because of my scheme, my playbook. Run blocking was easier. We were blocking, protecting gaps, A and B gaps, down blocking, ear blocking. Good athletes come off line quick, getting their hats and helmets on, people playing with effort is great. But being on an island out there, offensive tackles, one-on-one with pass rushers, getting in good football positions, tap back, having good feet, good technique, good hands, good arm extension, good upper body, strength and position in their hips. There's so much technique that goes into pass protection and coaching of pass protection. It's difficult for young guys to get that in a short period of time. It's much more difficult to teach. That's why it's hard for college football teams to be great running games and great passing teams too, because you don't have enough time to teach both offensive running game and the passing game. There's very few college teams can do that, have great running games and great passing games.
So what's it going to take to get you down here to one of these games again?
Well, Jerry's invitation. I've been to a couple. You're talking about Texas.
Yeah.
I've been to Jerry's World a couple times. Jerry's invited me down. I was there that night. I was one of those 105,000 people there for the Giants when they won that game. So
you didn't make it down for the U2 show the other night or anything?
I didn't. They're coming to town here this Sunday night. Big boy, I was waiting on them to come north of the Rift.
You're going to go see U2?
Yeah, I remember Gloria. Yeah, man, I remember that one. And they probably won't even play the only one I remember them. But they're here. They had an article in paper I read today. They had some good songs. I remember a couple of them once I read them. I didn't know when the hell I didn't know who they were when I heard them being played. But I go to Riverwind. I usually watch Merle Haggard, Willie, and those guys. Well, man. That's the Indian Casino about 4 miles from my house here. It's right across the Canadian River.
It's never the same without you down here. There's always a spot down here for you, so we hope you get down here sooner or later.
Let me ask you, Corby, I know, Mike, do you go to the damn games or not? Or what do you do?
I do what you do.
He sits here and watches it on TV.
I watch it on television.
I get some pork ribs and watch them on TV, except I don't have a 65-incher.
Well, you know.
I go about 51 myself.
Yeah. Hey. You mean, really? I want to see that. You're bragging now, Mike. anyway, you guys have a great one. I'll see you.
All right, buddy.
All right,
thanks, Barry.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Wow. There he goes, the great Barry Switzer.
I so love that man.
It's the only good thing about this weekend.
I so love that man.
Is getting coach on.
You don't enjoy this weekend?
Hells no.
Why? It's a big football weekend of the year.
You hate it too.
You know what's funny is that
we're not talking about me.
Oh my God!
Mike and I were talking a couple days ago, and I go, "Hey, you want to get Barry on?" And it's a foregone conclusion. But sometimes you think, have we run out of things?
Have we gone to this well too often?
Right. But and then, you know, we tell each other every time that we have him on, you realize just how wonderful of a guest he is.
Yes, there will be something. I mean, you don't even have to ask the question, so don't do it.
Yeah.
Just get him on.
Right.
Just get him on now and think about it later if you're going to. And obviously, we're not because he was great, as always.
Great.
All right, let's see how great the ranch report was.